Good morning.
Morning.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be in the house of God with each and every one of you. We are blessed to be together. Amen. You know, it could be a lot of things happening like we see going on around the world, and we could be just in chaos, but we got Jesus in our hearts. Amen. And we've got peace this morning. We need to be praying for peace. We need to be decreeing and declaring. You and I, if we want things to change here in the natural, we got to battle and change what's going on in the second heaven by believing the provision of Jesus Christ in the third heaven. Amen. We don't live by what we see. We go by what the Word says. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in week two. We started last week talking about reigning in righteousness. Aren't you glad that you're made righteous by Jesus? Hallelujah. Not what man says, but what Jesus says. Amen. And because you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been birthed in your spirit. What a promise. So we're going to continue with that this morning. We're going to be looking at some things. Before we get to our series text in Proverbs chapter 4, you can be opening to that, and Romans chapter 5, Brother Jason's going to put a couple verses on the screen. Remember last week we talked about, we won't put it back up there this week, but remember James 4, 14 talks about how short your life is, how short my life is. It's just like a vapor. It's like the morning fog that just burns off. It's here and it's gone. But so in that amount of time, we got to remind ourselves, Old Testament, New Testament, that you were created to rule. You need to tell the devil that. Amen. So, Brother Jason, would you put Genesis 1:26 on the screen and concentrate on the whole verse, but I mean, what I want you to see out of the first part of the verse is that by the word of God, that you were created in His image, you were created in His likeness, and you were to be in the place and the position where, pardon? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Brother Jason, so much. You do a great job. I appreciate it so much. We were created in the image of God in His likeness. Amen. Well, that means that the authority that He had in His life, He has transformed to us. And look what it says. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. But look at this. And let them have dominion. So you're to rule and reign in this earth. And you say, well, it's just talking about over certain parts of the earth. Well, we're looking at the natural aspect of it. Let's look at the governmental or the spiritual aspect as well, tied together. Revelation 1:6. Revelation 1:6. Well, let's read verse 5. Verse 5, the last part of the verse, it says that verse 6 is possible because you're washed in the blood. How many's washed in the blood this morning? All right. Now, look what it says. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. I'm so grateful that the blood of Jesus has washed the believer, those who are reigning by in and through righteousness. Look at verse 6. And He has made us, say, He's talking about me. He's made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So if I believe that Jesus Christ has dominion, if I believe He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, then according to His word, I have dominion. Come on, you have dominion. Amen. You have it in the natural. You have it in the governmental, but you have it in the spiritual. And you'll never see the natural and the governmental changed until you walk it in the spiritual. Amen. We change everything in the natural by the spiritual. See, the devil wants us to keep battling the natural and think that we're going to change things by leaving the spiritual out. And that's not true. If we do things according to the word of God, according to His order, everything will work. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's read our series text, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, then we'll go read Romans 5:17. And we're going to really break these verses down as we get prepared for them, but we're not ready to break these verses down yet. We've got to build a foundation to get there. Proverbs 4:18, look what the Word of God says. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Remember, we talked about how it's you once were darkness. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that, but now you're light. I once was darkness, but now I'm light. And so when we got saved, it was like the day star, Jesus coming up and the sun rising in our life. And then as we start walking with him, we'll finally get to the point where it's like the noonday sun, where there's no shadow when the sun is in its proper place. When Jesus is lifted high, there's no shadow in your life. Amen. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. So aren't you glad that you have been delivered from darkness, from that condition, and now you're light? Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense, talking about the first Adam, the old man, the carnal man, for if by one man's offense death reigned, death ruled as a king, is what it says in the Greek. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received the abundance of grace, and with grace, look what happens, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Shall reign in this life by one, by the one who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, by the one Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as we stand before you, as our hearts are humbled, we make this confession to you. You are our Lord. You are our shepherd. And you said that you would call us by name and you would lead us to different pastors. Lord, take us out of this pastor that we've ate in so much, the first works of salvation and baptism, the milk of the word. Thank you for that. It was very needful. But we ask that you would show us what happens today if we stay in that pastor, if we stay in the simplistic mindset of a baby Christian and do not become a kingdom kid, do not become someone who is ruling and reigning in and through your word. Lord, let it be. Grab a hold of our heart and just be glorified in our lives today. We'll be quick to follow you. We'll be quick to praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen and amen. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. This is so important as we finish out this year, this prophetic year, the year of release, that you and I get in this place, in this position where we let the Lord help us be spirit-led rather than led by our five senses. You know, our five natural senses are always changing. You're hot, you're cold, you're happy, you're sad, you're mad, you're glad, you're hungry, you're stuffed, all of these things. And so they'll never be satisfied. They're not consistent. So you can't go by what you're dealing with in the natural, in the carnal man. And that's why we're looking at this, because Jesus said that if we heard the truth spoke in, Paul said it in the book of Ephesians, he said, if we heard the truth spoke in love, that we would grow up, Ephesians 4, up unto the head, Jesus Christ. So we've got to hear this to be able to grow up. Amen. And so that's what we're going to talk about. But let's look at the negative effect. If we do not take heed to this, if we don't mature in this, you and I are going to be in a place where we're held back. Because he said that our day would be as going into perfection. That it would be shining more and more as we heard the word of God, as we walked in obedience, as we walked with Jesus. So let's look at some things this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look. Paul's talking here to the church at Corinth. And I want you to know, out of these, just for sake of time, we're going to look at the first probably six or seven verses, something like that. But in these verses, he talks about a person who is a Christian, but they're carnal, that they're still a babe in Christ, that they can't hear the deeper things of God. And so if you can't hear the deeper things of God, if I can't hear the deeper things of God, thank God we're saved. But we're being led by the flesh and we're going to struggle. I don't want to struggle, do you? I want to come into this year of release where the old man is completely put away and I'm walking in that liberty and in that freedom of knowing who I am in Jesus. See, we said it last week, but the Word of God is the only mirror, Brother Derek, that'll tell you who you are. Man can't tell you. As much as You love her, she can't tell you. You got to let the Bible tell you who you are, give you a clear picture. And then that way there's no limitations and misunderstandings in what we think or what we understand, because we're being taught by the Spirit. Then we can be led by the Spirit instead of led or directed by what we think or what we see or what we feel. All of those things. Amen. All right. So look here at the first part of this. He says in verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, he says, "And I, brethren." So there's a lot of people and there's a lot of commentaries going to tell you that he's talking to people that are not Christians, but he called them brethren. So what does that tell you and I? They're Christians. They're born again. They wouldn't be a brother or sister with Brother Larry if they wasn't born again. So these are saved people. They're just in a place and a position where they haven't learned how to deal with the flesh. Now, I don't know about you. Some areas of my life, I've got great peace and joy and love and victory, all those things. And then other areas of my life where I haven't went to that next feeding trough that Jesus has for me, the devil can hinder me. The flesh can hinder me. The troubles come in my life because of lack of knowledge. You know the scripture, Hosea 4:6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We've got to have the Word of God. We've got to have a vision. And the vision can't be in the natural. It's got to be in the spiritual. So Paul says, "And I, brethren." Now I want you to think about this. Paul founded this church by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He got them saved. He got them born again. He got them baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they took that word so strongly that they just accepted and received everything, all the gifts of the Spirit, and they operated in them more than any other church. See, I was under the impression when I first got saved and started going to church, if somebody operated in the gifts of the Spirit, they were way up here and I'm way down here. Nobody taught me. No, a gift is simply that, a gift. But see, the fruit of the Spirit, that determines where you're at. That determines how much you've grown in Christ, how much I've grown in Christ, how mature we are. Amen? And so they had no trouble operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but they had all sorts of difficulty being productive in the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what we're talking about. But he said, "And I, brethren," look what he said, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." In other words, he said, "I had so much to tell you." Now think about it. Paul, he had been to the third heaven. He saw things that it wasn't even lawful for him to talk about. He couldn't even share it. It was too precious, and it wasn't for this time and all of these things. So he had all of this knowledge. He had all of this experience when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then when he was taught by the Lord himself, those 3 years in the deserts of Arabia, he had all of this revelation. But he couldn't give them nothing but just the milk of the Word. His heart was grieved. He was hurting because he's seen them struggling in all of these areas. And then he knew that Jesus had a word for them that would just lift them up out of the miry clay, put them on a rock where they could walk, not by their feelings, not by their flesh, but in a high level of the Holy Spirit in their life. He wanted them to be able to reign by righteousness. See, any area in your life and my life that doesn't match this Bible, that means it's not right. So if it's not right, it's wrong. Come on. So we want what? We want the righteousness of Jesus. We want the reality of relationship. We want the fruit of everything that Jesus died on the cross, that he died to give us. We want it to be active, and we want it to be going through our lives into other people's lives. Amen. So notice what he said. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you." I couldn't lay this forth. I couldn't minister this to your heart as unto spiritual. So we see two levels here, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And so here they are. They've heard some word, but now they're at a place where they cannot hear more. See, if we just stay in a place where we say, well, boy, I really like to read this one verse or this one chapter or this one book. Well, thank God that that's on your heart. And thank God that you've got a favorite section of Scripture. And thank God that you've got a certain theme maybe in and through the Bible. But if you and I are not careful, we'll just feed on what we like rather than what the Holy Spirit would have for us. See, I like these promises. I like the verses that make me want to shout. But you know what? My shout will not have any power in it if I'm not walking in the truth of the Word of God beyond what I want, but I receive what the Lord has for me. You know, like Brother Hagin used to say, he said, I don't care how high you jump, as long as when you land, you walk straight. See, it's not in the jump, it's not in the shout, it's in the relationship. It's in the reality of living every day, letting Him be your source of strength. So can you imagine here, Paul says, he said, I had something to say to you, but I could not speak unto you. I couldn't get it out of my heart. I looked at you and I saw what God had for you, and I wanted to impart it to you, but I knew that the moment I said it to you, you wouldn't be able to receive it. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how the grandkids is born, been born and grown specifically. I was thinking about Samantha and Kyle from little to now. And you can think about Kylie and Elizabeth, how much they've grown. You know, you can say stuff to them today that you couldn't say to them before and they'll understand it. You know, that's what he's talking about. As you and I grow up in the natural, we do the same thing in the spiritual, or we're supposed to. But you realize we've got people that have been saved for an X number of years, and they're still dealing with the same problems that they dealt with when they got saved. Yeah. Now, we're not talking about, I've still got problems, but it's not God's fault. I gotta feed on the solution to those problems. I don't know about you. Some things that's good for me in the natural, I don't like. How much more is that true in the spiritual? Our flesh is not going to like it, but our spirit is going to be what? Craving toward it. You know, when your body is needing something in the natural, it will pull towards that because it knows it needs it to survive. Well, our spirit is always doing that. Amen. All right. Hold your place. We're going to be coming back and forth to here, but go with me to the writings of Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look what he says. Let's see where we're at. First of all, in verse 2, 1 Peter 2 and 2, he's talking about how we start growing up in verse 1. We start laying aside those things of the flesh, and he lists malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. And he said the way that we get those things out of our life in verse 2, as newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby. So you've got to have that word, but you've got to start moving forward. It's, you know, you go from the milk to some soft foods, you know, as a baby. Well, that's what we do. And until you finally get into the place where you get the full meat. But notice what he said. He said, if you've so tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, you tasted the milk, that you found out that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You found out about Jesus, that Jesus was made sin, that you could be made righteous, that Jesus died, that you might live. Amen. You found that great milk. But now that you found that grace of God, that same grace that saved you is the same grace that's going to grow you up. It's that same grace that's going to walk with you and say, hey, it's okay. You stumped your toe there, but let me show you how you can step up over that where you won't stump your toe next time. Let me show you how you can have strength and power. Let me show you how you can have joy through that season, through that struggle, all of those things. He wants to give that to us. That same grace that saved you is teaching you and I how to live every day. Yeah. Amen. Now, but here's what we've got to do. Drop down to verse 11. 1 Peter 2 and 11. He said, dearly beloved, aren't you glad that you are of the beloved? You know, the Bible says that you've been accepted in the beloved. And of course, the beloved is Jesus. And because you're in and of him, prodigy, you are born by this incorruptible word. You are a part of that beloved. So he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you. He said, I want to draw you near. I want to comfort you. And I want to give you some hope here. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Aren't you glad? Isaiah 59:19 says that Jesus is your standard. So that God is lifting up a standard. When all the flood of life comes against you, that it may come against you in all these different ways, but Jesus is that standard that you can always live by. So don't let the world tell you what you can do or can't do. Don't let the world set your standard of what is acceptable and what is not. Let this Bible, amen? Let the relationship with Jesus set it. He said, I beseech you. He said, I want you to live not as you're a citizen of this world, but I want you to live that you are visiting this world as an ambassador. In other words, you've got all of heaven behind you. You've got the authority of heaven's government. Remember we talked about Philippians 3:10, or was it 3:20? Somewhere in there, Philippians chapter 3, that your citizenship, it says conversation in the King James, but the word in the Greek is your citizenship is in heaven. So your authority is from heaven. It's not limited by what other people's are who have not been born again. You're ruling and reigning in Jesus Christ, amen, by his righteousness. So he said, be in that place where you know who you are. And he said, when you do that, he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain, hold yourself against fleshly. There's that word carnal that we was looking at in 1 Corinthians 3:1, against fleshly lust, against this carnality. You've got to hold yourself against it. You've got to make a stand. You've got to say, listen, flesh, you're going back to the earth. You cannot be saved. The flesh man cannot be saved. It's just a vessel for X number of years in this time period. And it's going back to the earth. It's the seed for your glorified body. Jesus teaches us that in John chapter 12. And he talked about how he was going to plant his body in the earth and it was going to produce fruit. And that fruit's you and I. Amen. All right. So I got to be in that place where I got to hold myself against it. So when your flesh gets mad because it doesn't understand something or it's misunderstood something or because it's not getting its way, you've got to say, no, I don't feel this way. Not really. The flesh is not who you are. Who you really are involves your spirit and your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. It's the personality of your spirit, if you will. That's who you really are. That's who's going to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. So we've got to make a choice. Now, in eternity, Jesus said, because I've been faithful over a few things, because you've been faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over. Come on. So many things. So here you are. So you got to see yourself as God sees you already in that role. So the only way that you can operate in that role, the only way I can operate in that role is I've got to hold myself against what this flesh is saying. This flesh is a liar. It is fallen. It has come in agreement with death, Hebrews 2:14, Satan. So we don't agree with it. You know why the house of God isn't full in church services, church time? Because of the flesh. The flesh wants to be somewhere else. It wants to do something else. Or the flesh got hurt, or it got aggravated, or it got disappointed, or all of those things. And that flesh this morning is dominating people, and it's leading them to things that never satisfy them. Think about my flesh wants to sin continually, but the moment that that pleasure comes in that season of sin, when I do it again, there's no season there. There's no pleasure there. So then I got to go a little lower, a little deeper in his will, the devil's will, the world's will, those things to what? To stimulate the flesh, but in the things of the Lord. There's more and more liberty and joy and freedom and victory because I'm not being dominated by this flesh. I don't know if you can feel an anticipation in your spirit yet or not, but there is such a great work that Jesus is going to do. When we get done with these series, you and I, we're going to see so much of this word come alive in our life. We're going to have a newfound freedom and liberty and victory like we've never seen before. And it's not just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of the whole body of Christ to be able to fulfill this word. Amen. Now he said, I want you to abstain. Now notice what he said. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So I've said it, but sometimes you have to keep saying things to make sure that we're all on the same page. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit because you are a spirit being if you're born again. And so your spirit is in this perfect communication with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And your spirit knows the truth about everything. But you and I, if we're not careful, we don't take heed to what the Spirit is saying, the Holy Spirit in our spirit. And so then we get more, as Paul is dealing with these here in Corinth, we get more in tune. See, whatever I yield to, that's what I'm going to serve. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 6. Right. If I yield to my body to the instruments of sin, then I become a servant to sin. But if I yield to his righteousness, then I serve the righteous king. I live by that. And so I've got to be in a place and a position where he said for me to hold myself against these fleshly lusts because they war against my soul. Your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions. Come on. Sometimes you are so tired in your mind. Sometimes I'm so tired in my mind because the devil has just been playing with us. It's like a roller coaster. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? There's no answer in the what. There's no comfort in the what. The comfort is in Jesus. Amen? Whatever it is, Jesus said that I've got you. You're in the Father's hand. You're in my hand, John chapter 10. And he said, nobody can pluck you out. So don't, yes, there's trouble in the world, but I'm not in the world. Yes, there's problems, but come on, we're not in it. We're in Jesus. Amen. And so regardless of what's happening, he's going to take care of his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You're the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Come on. It doesn't matter. All of those are smoke and mirrors to cause your mind, your soul, to get back in the carnal thinking, the carnal understanding, where you're bound by fear, you're bound by lack, you're bound by all of these things. But those who, what? Those who walk uprightly, those who are righteous, lack no good thing. You got to tell the devil, you know what the Bible says about you. You know what's yours. Amen. So there's going to be a war going on. In other words, a war, that's what we're seeing, what we've been seeing in Ukraine all these months. That's what we just saw happen in the Gaza Strip. That's a war in the natural. Well, some of you are having the very same things in your mind. And guess what? The devil loves it. He wants to drop a bomb on this relationship. He wants to drop a bomb on that relationship. He wants to drop a bomb on the peace of God. All of these things. And you and I got to say, none of those things move me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I know. What I know is the truth of my relationship with God the Father through the Spirit showing me Jesus. Amen? We're talking about being made strong. Okay, so he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. So what I've got to do, I've got to come to the place where I let the word have the first and final say, and I do what the Apostle Paul taught. We talk about it all the time, but I renew my mind by the word of God. But let's go to where Jesus said some things. Go with me to John chapter 16. We've preached out of this many times. But look at John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's what Paul is saying to that Christian who is carnal, to that Christian who is still a babe in Christ. The word always matches itself. So he said, just like Jesus said here, I have many things to say to you. Now he's talking to the disciples on that side of the cross, on that side of Pentecost. And so he wanted to teach them some things, but they weren't ready. They had to wait and be saved. They had to wait and have the Spirit in their life. So this tells you and I, after, because we're on this side of the cross, we're on this side of Pentecost, we can hear what Jesus says. Yeah. And Jesus doesn't just have a few things to say to you. He has many things. Yeah. So whatever you need to hear, whatever you need to know, it's available to you this morning. It's available to you every moment of your life because the one, all-knowing one, His Spirit, lives in your spirit. What a comfort. See, we didn't read it, but 1 Corinthians 2:16 said to that mature Christian, the spiritual Christian, that you have the mind of Christ. Does the Bible lie? So that's what's available to us, amen? So I got to be in this place. Okay, Jesus, you have many things to say to me. Okay, I want to be able to bear it. Now, we won't turn there, but would you make a note? This word bear is translated carry, C-A-R-R-Y, in Acts chapter 3, verse 2. You remember in Acts chapter 3, we've got the lame man that every day he's carried and laid at the gate beautiful. And no doubt he'd been, that had happened his whole life. We don't know it for sure, but just from what tradition tells us, mixed with what history we know, he was there when Jesus went to the temple. He'd been sitting there all of these years. And they had enough truth, enough faith, if they carried him to the temple, that somebody would give him an alms. But that's all they could believe for. But see, one day, on this side of the cross, on this side of Pentecost, Peter and John, full of the Holy Ghost, walked past him. And what did Peter do? He reached down and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee." He grabbed him by the hand. He said, "Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." What happened? What was different? The people who carried him there, they all they could believe for was alms. But somebody come along that could believe more. Amen. There was a maturity there. So there's levels. So you and I, we can't stop growing, Brother Corey. We got to keep growing because there's more for us. He said, "I've got many things." And so you and I, we may not be able to believe what somebody else is believing right now, but you believe what God is putting in you, right, what He's revealing to you. Brother Corey, you can't feed Peyton Riley the same thing you're feeding Stephen. Not fully. And so what I'm saying is, let God feed you. See, I want to feed all of you. I do. I sit there and I pray and I try to figure out. I say, "Lord, now I know that when I say this, this is going to get somebody off, but this person needs to hear it. Would you help me?" I say, and I do it every day. I say, "Lord, help me." I open my mouth wide. "You fill it. Don't let me say anything. And if I don't say it right, would you take by the power of the Holy Spirit, take my words and put it the way that you have put it in my heart, the way that you mean it? Because I don't want any confusion. I don't want any misunderstanding. I want everybody to be fed." Amen. Because why? Because that's what the Lord wants. Yeah. So I know that God will do it. So he has many things to say. So let's be willing to move to the next pastor. Amen. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, he's trying to get the word in us. Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is death. Carnally, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's your gauge. Anything in your life that you're dealing with that it doesn't have life and peace in it, get rid of it. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Paul said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Now, so here they are. They have come to a place where they couldn't hear. In other words, they couldn't eat to the next level. And if you can't eat to the next level, what happens? You're alive, but you stop growing. That's where they're at right here. They're alive. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But it's going to be a miserable, miserable journey because they're not growing. They're not growing in the truth. They're not learning how to neither give place, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. They're not learning how not to do that. They're not learning how to build up and put on the whole armor of God where they can stand. The evil day's coming. It's coming every day. It's getting closer and closer. But he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may learn how to stand. And so we've got to do that. But see, they're not, they hadn't got to that position. They had stopped hearing. They had stopped eating, in other words. And so now here they are, that they're alive, but they have no life. That's what's wrong with the church. That's why there's so many people who will not come to the house of God, because they're looking, they say, they're just as miserable as I am. They're just as messed up as I am. And they keep talking about this Jesus. I don't see no change. Now, we're not judged by people, and we're not going to let what people say stick to us. But we need to realize that Jesus said that you and I once were darkness, but now we're the light of the world. And light draws people. Light is a truth. So here he said, you're not able. Let me reread it. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat. So that means there's something more for you and I. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are now are you able. So I was thinking about that. When Kayla was born, she had all these stomach issues. And from talking to my mom and my grandma, that was the same thing that I went through. You know how things pass along if you're not in that new covenant, if you're not in that place where you put off the old and put on the new. And so Kelly was born before Don and I got born again, before we had a covenant with God. And so Kelly's dealt with a lot of things that Victoria's never had to deal with. And so it's important that you walk out your covenant, amen, and you help. We can't do nothing about the past, but we can do something about right now, amen. So anyway, Katie had all these issues, and so she, you know, mama's milk didn't work, and we tried. I couldn't even dare count how many formulas we went through until we was at our wits' end, because, I mean, she was just, you know, spitting up all day, all night. And we finally found something called Nutrimogen. And it was so heavily pre-digested and everything in it that she could eat that. And that's what fed her and growed her up. So Jesus has got many things for us to say, but to us, many things then to get to us that he can get through us. He wants to say it to us where we can say it to others. But we've got to be in the place where we don't stop growing. Amen. Put Hebrews 6:1 on the screen. Hebrews 6:1. Paul makes this statement, in case somebody's here struggling with this thought. So let's get it right out of the mouth of the Lord. When you and I, when we get saved, and we've got to go on into perfection. Look what Hebrews 6:1 says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, in other words, don't stay at salvation, at baptism. That's the milk of the word. Thank God for it. It's a part of who you are, but you can't just stay there. So many people, I need to get saved again. No, you don't. You need to repent. You can't be saved but once. You can only be born again one time. Then if you like me, if you backslide or whatever, then you got to come back to the Lord. That's all. But thank God for baptism in water. We're supposed to be. We need to be. But you've got to realize that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. He doesn't make mistakes. Leave those principles. Look what happens. Let us go on unto perfection. Oh, Brother Greg, I can't be perfect. Nobody can. But the word's complete. Hear what Jesus is feeding you today, and today, as you act on what he teaches you, you're complete in him today. And then you'll come back and you'll eat in the natural tomorrow, you'll eat in the spiritual. And you'll be complete. And when the devil comes attacking, you're not weak. You're not ignorant. That simply means the word ignorant means you don't know what you need to know to be successful. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So tell the Lord, say, Lord, I'm ready to go to the next pastor. I'm ready to eat the next meal that you have for me. I want to go on. I want to be complete every day. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3. Thank you so much, Brother Jason. Let's look what he said. and starting in verse 3. This is the last part. See, you're supposed to grow up and be an instructor, a teacher of righteousness. But if we're not growing up into that thing, we're going to be an instructor and a teacher to the negative side. You can't be neutral. You're either doing the work of the Lord or you're doing the work of the flesh. I'm not leaving myself out. Verse 3, he said, for you are yet carnal. You're still that, you're a Christian, but you're a babe. You're carnal. That's what he's telling them. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, look at those three things, are you not carnal and walk as men? That word walk as men is a Greek word that means that you live man-faced. In other words, I'm going to act or react according to what I see. So if I've got these three things in my life in any area, envying, strife, and division, if there's anything in my life, then I need to come back and say, Jesus, feed me right now. Because I need to hear the truth. I need to move away from this. This is not your best for me. God's hurting because you're hurting. God's hurting because I'm hurting. He wants us to have life. Jesus said, the whole reason why I come, John 10:10, that you might have life and you might have it. It's ours, bought and paid for. But if we don't know it, if we don't grow up into it, we cannot practice it. Amen? Look what he said. Here's the signs of what will happen. Verse 4, for one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. He said, are you not carnal? Said, well, that don't happen today. Church of Christ, Methodist, Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Church of God, Catholic. How many denominations do we got? We can't count them all. Very seldom do you hear people say, they don't say, are you a Christian? They say, where do you go to church at? Because we've become so focused on church that we've missed the head of the church. Yes. We've missed the one who's building the church. Yes. There's not going to be any denominations in heaven. We're going to all be one. And guess what? If they're saved, it doesn't matter what denomination they're in. They're going to be there with you. They're going to be there with me. Amen? So let's get all of that out of our mind and let's just work together. Come on, let's work together. He said, are you not carnal? So the minute that I've talked to so many pastors, and the minute they found out that I was a member of a Pentecostal church, they didn't want to talk to me. Because they don't understand or they don't agree with all those things, and so they'd rather just pull away. Well, guess what? God's going to have unity. I'm going to let God have unity, aren't you? So anything that I'm divided about, I need to come back and say, Lord, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, I know you know this, but I'm just going to put it out there. There's some things that you need to hear about desperately because the devil's trying to divide the church. He's trying to divide family members. Everybody's not going to do it the way you do it. Everybody's not going to do it the way I would do it. That doesn't mean that it can't be blessed and it can't be successful. So we need to let what? We need to let the Lord help us. Lord, I'm divided in this area. I'm hurt. I'm bothered. I'm concerned. And I know that you're concerned about what I'm concerned about. Let me come and eat at your table. Give me what I need. All of that will be put out of our life. He's got so many good things for us. And your name is written on them. Amen. All right. Getting ready to close. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Look what he said. Look at verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, talking about what Jesus done for you and I. This is about his priesthood. And it's what he has made us into in him. Verse 11. He said, of whom we have many things to say. Paul said, I've got many things to talk about Jesus, about the order of Melchizedek, about his priesthood. See, Melchizedek simply means the king, Zadok of the just. So anytime you see that Old Testament, New Testament, it's talking about the king and those who have been justified. Well, he's talking about us. Amen. He said, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. So there's that going back to what we were talking about, that that carnal Christian, the Christian who's carnal, that babe in Christ, they cannot hear certain things. He said, verse 12, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers." In other words, it was destined for you and I to grow up in Jesus. And every person has a gifting. Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and the calling," the gifts and the calling of God, "are without repentance." They're irrevocable. So every person has this working in their life. And he said right here, as Paul's writing to the Hebrews, he knew that they would understand that. He said, you need to grow up and to be what God called you to be. So this word teacher here simply means to live a lifestyle that will reveal who Jesus is and what he's done. "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." You know, let's think about it where we can understand it. Think about the natural. I remember when my great-grandpa, when he got to where he couldn't eat, that we'd go and buy him that Equate off-brand of Ensure, you know, and make sure he drank that, because he had to have something to give him nutrients, but he couldn't eat solid food. So this is what Paul is saying here. He said, instead of getting the meat of it, you're back to the milk, back to the soft things of life. And he said, you need to be teaching some things. So here's, now don't get mad at me, but this is so important. Everybody's praying for victory. You can pray and fast until the skin falls off your bones. But if you don't do what you know to do, you'll never have what God's promised. Amen. So, every one of you in here, God has called you to do something more than, quote unquote, go to church. Now, it may be something inside the church. It may be something outside the church. Whatever it is, you need to find out, go back and say, Lord, now what was it? What did you tell me? What did you ask me to do? It has nothing to do with the preacher. It has nothing to do with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. What did you tell me? So the moment that you come back to that, see, so many times people tell me that I can't hear from God. Well, what's the last thing he told you? Because until you hear and receive and do the last thing he told you, he's not going to give you the next thing. He said, I don't cast my pearl before swine, before something that's not going to hear and receive it. Amen. So go back and say, Lord, what am I ought to be doing right now? If you call me to be an intercessor. See, some of you, you've got a heavy anointing on your life to intercess and nobody know about it. Just you and the Lord in your personal prayer closet in your heart. And you can go and you'll battle in the second heaven, and you'll bring the will of the Father from the third heaven and come through Jesus, the open door, and come all the way to earth and see things changed. But you've got to do it. And nobody sees it. Nobody will glorify it. Nobody will magnify it. But God will. And when we stand at that judgment seat, it's going to be magnified throughout all of the universe. Amen. But there's several things in here that you, what did God tell you to do? Hear it. Amen. Come back and do it. Be faithful in it. And all of a sudden, that things that had you bound, that things that were hurting you and limiting you, you're going to find out that was the avenue of the door of the enemy to bring them in your life. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. Amen. Now, I'm teaching just as plain, but I can get a little plainer. He said, verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk," everyone that useth milk is in the word of righteousness. "Everyone that useth milk is unskillful," pardon me, "in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So remember, we're talking this morning about ruling in this righteousness. So the only way you're going to be able to rule and reign like the word says, you've got to know what the word says. So you're not a grunt worker. You are a skilled worker. You've been called. Amen. You have a holy anointing, a holy calling, and it's yours. But you've got to put it to practice. And you've got to let, this is so important. I'm just going to tell you just the way it is. See, around each one of your life, there is a circle of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And on the outside edge of that circle, that's just the acceptable will of God. But as your mind is renewed to the truth of the Word of God and you start living that, then you come over into the good will of God. And the further that you get in that, the less the devil, the less the world and all the things of the flesh can get to you. In the acceptable will, you're going to be buffered all the time. Bam, 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 bam. You get over into the good will, and it's going to take bigger imps and stronger demons, and it's going to take greater strategies of the devil to get to you. But then when you find yourself in the center of God's will, His perfect will, there's a place there. And it don't matter what storm comes your way, you're at peace. Jesus slept in the center of God's will in the boat when everybody else was going nuts. And they had to wake Him up because there was no worry, there's no fear, no concern there. Because He was what? He wasn't doing what He wanted to do. He was doing what God the Father had called Him to do. He was skillful in what He told, what the Father had revealed to Him. I want you to know that you've got to tell the devil, I'm skillful in the things of God. Stop saying, I don't know what to do or I don't know how to do it. You do. You've got a teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Say, he's talking about me. Even those who by reason of use, you have to use what God's gave you. That's what I'm talking about. Go back and use the revelation. Work the Word of God in your life and see what it'll do for you. Who by the reason of use have their senses, spiritual senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. You and I, we can walk in this reality, this truth of what God would have and what the enemy's trying to produce, what he's trying to work in our life. We don't have to succumb to that. Let's close with one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's get something in our heart. Because you've got to stay focused and you've got to stay where God's placed you. Look at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let some people, let every man, woman, boy, and girl abide, meno, live in the place of expectancy, live in the place of obedience, live in the place of hope and confidence. Let every person abide in the same calling wherein he or she, wherein they were called. God put you there, not man, not the devil. So man or the devil can't move you out of the body of Christ, out of the plan of God. Amen. I can move myself, but they can't move me. So I'm going to abide. And so the way I abide is I do what God tells me to do. And I can't abide if I don't do what He tells me to do. I got to be skillful. I got to be submissive. And if He said, if I would submit myself under His hand, He would exalt me in due season. That's what's coming. Because you and I, we're going to learn a new level of submission. And when we get into that new place, come on, the Holy Ghost is talking. When you get to that new level of submission, there's going to be a raising of Jesus in your life. And the higher that we raise Jesus in reality, the higher we come. Amen. All right. So in closing, think about these three things. This can help gauge where you're struggling at, if you are indeed struggling, whether there's some carnality there, there's some stuff there that's hindering you. If I'm thinking about me more than my brothers and sisters, if I'm thinking about me more than God, then I need to repent. You know how many people it's about how this is going to affect me. It's not about us. We're born again. We're saved. We have victory. We have deliverance. We are more than a conqueror. We always triumph. It's not about us. God, what do you want to use me for my brother, my sister, for that backslidden person, for that lost person, all these things. Amen. So if that's in my life, then I needed to come and lay it on God's altar. Number two, if I'm in the place where I want to please myself at no limitation. I please myself. I'm not thinking about the cost. See, every time that we please the flesh, there's a cost. But the devil just wants us to think about what we want. Hey, I work for that. That's my money. This is my time. That's all between you and God. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just telling you, if we're out to where we have to have our will, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's fixing to come to the place where he sweats great drops of blood. And what does he say? But your will. Thank you, Sister Sharon. See, that means he had a will in the flesh not to go to the cross. Now, his spirit, but he was in the same flesh body as you and I. He was in all points tempted like us. But thy will. Lastly, if we love ourselves more than we love God and our brothers and sisters, we're carnal. I'm sorry, we're carnal. We need to repent. We need to give it to the Lord. And then because see, those three areas, the devil is getting us to sell out on what God would have, and we become more unhappy, more unfruitful, and more bound rather than what God would have. Because when we do those things for the Lord rather than yielding to the flesh, there's a newfound elevation. There's a newfound freedom. There's a newfound truth. Now, don't give up on me. We're going to get somewhere. If you'll stay with me and hooked with the Lord, when I say me, I'm talking about what the Lord would say to you. He's going to do some amazing things in our life. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. To the best of my ability, Lord, I've laid out what you have put on my heart. I ask that our hearts be exactly revealed as what they are. They're one. Our hearts are knit together because you first loved us and you built us together at this point of time. No confusion, no resentment, no disappointment, no distraction, none of those things. There's no divisions in the name of Jesus. Let us be one in you, like you said. Lord, touch each person right now, starting right here with me, Lord, and help us to see if there's some things that we need to put to work, we need to put to use by letting go of a lie, of a feeling. Something that is not being ruled and reigned by righteousness this morning, make it clear to us and help us give it to you. We'll submit to you. Only you can do this, Lord. You're the one that can put that truth that makes us free, that enables us, emboldens us to take that step. And all of these things, Lord, let it be glorified. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and let the Lord bless you and help you? You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but the flesh wants to hold you and I back from that. The enemy uses the flesh to try to distract us, to discourage us. Would you come this morning and just on this journey, know that you're walking with the Lord and he's walking with you, and you're being perfected every time that you hear the truth and you yield to it. Hallelujah. 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 God's got great things in store for you. Great things. Hallelujah. But they're not where you're at. They're where he's leading you.